is from the Father's supply. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us, Lord, and we thank you for the health and strength that we have physically and spiritually, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in the furtherance of this service. We thank you from the songs, Lord, that were brought forth from the heart. Lord, may it all be received, Lord, by you. Lord, guide us now in the word. So we ask for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here and happy to see each one this morning. I want to say we appreciate Brother Goomba traveling back. He went to Raleigh last night and then came back this morning and to help us out. I appreciate Joe and Asenoth also. And we want them to continue on in that good work. So come prepared always. So we do appreciate it. So it's good to see each one this morning. Good to see Sister Esther and the girls. And may the Lord bless you. We didn't know if you might be in Raleigh too, the situation there. We did talk to Brother Paul, and he told us how the things were going there. And so we want to continue to remember the family. They'll be having the memorial today, and then tomorrow the sister will be traveling with the body back to Kenya. And so we know it's a real strain, just losing a loved one, and then I can't imagine having to travel like that to the other side of the world and to lay your husband to rest. And so this, let us remember them as they're taking care of those things, and may God bless them and guide them in it. And so we want to get right into the word this morning now, and we're going to start in the token message, and we're just continuing right on in this thought, talking about the third stage of his ministry, and that, as we know in this day, that what's happening today is just repeating what has been happening. And that's the beauty of having a prophet come on the scene, because he's able to go into the scripture and say, here's where it happened, here's where it's happened, here's where it's happened. And then he continues in the scripture and he says, here's where it's promised to happen again today. And it is promised, and it's promised, and it's promised. We weren't looking for nothing. Huh? In the days of Noah, they weren't looking for nothing. They weren't expecting anything to happen. But God anointed somebody, and that was Noah. And Noah spoke to them, and he said, hey, this is what God is telling me. I know it's never happened. I know the science can prove it can't happen. I know it's strange. I know it's odd. I know it's never been done before. But God is telling me it's going to happen. And he showed me what to do. And you can be a part of it. If you want to be, you can be a part of it. And he said, this is the plan that God gave me to build an ark. And he's going to bring in all the animals, two of every animal, and all the people that want to come, whosoever will. You're all welcome. Everybody's welcome. Is that the same today? Isn't it the same in Jesus' day? Whosoever will, everyone's welcome. And so it was a small little group. It was just a small little group. But that has happened in every age. It just has happened in every age. And it just keeps continuing right on. Of course, we know we're at the end now. And so, it's hard for the people to comprehend it. It's hard for the people to get it. And so the revelation of it is that we know we're in the last days. We know it. Because all of the Bible, it's complete. It's complete. And God has spoken and fulfilled the promise of this day. And I tell you, I was 21 years old when God began to reveal it to me. I was 21 years old. And I was in the world. I lived sin to its fullest. I didn't do it all, but I did a lot of it. And it was pretty bad. And I knew that there was something out there, but whether there was a God or not, I didn't know. Because I looked at the churches, and I looked at the Christians, and I looked at the people, and I didn't see the life. I saw a good person here and there. I saw somebody outstanding here and there. But the people that I was around going to church, they weren't living a life that compared to what was in that Bible. And that's the thing that changed me. When I seen a life that compared to that, then it just did something for me. It just opened my eyes and it said, now that's the Bible. That's exactly what the Bible is. That's what God did through Moses. That's what God did through the prophets. That's what God did in Jesus Christ. And now, here is God doing it in this day. And it turned, it was like that. It was like that. I went to the river that night. And that's that God can do. It might took you 10 years. I don't know. What did it take? I don't know. It doesn't take like that. But it took one time. I went and I was in a man's home. He lived in a little one-bedroom apartment. And he had a few people there meeting in his home. And he invited me over there and I come. I thought, well, let me just listen. He's my neighbor. I'll be nice. And he began talking about the prophet. And he began to talking about what God did in this day. Not another day, this day. And he showed in the Bible where God promised to do it. Where God promised a prophet. And I said, this is it. This is it. And it didn't occur to me that these people were in a little ratty apartment, not a luxury apartment, a little ratty, run-down, old, everything was old, antique, wore out, just finished. And there he was meeting. His furniture wasn't nothing like this, wasn't so nice, wasn't nothing. None of that occurred to me. It didn't occur to me that this is just some regular guy. He's working a job down here at the power company. No, none of that. It was what I heard. It was the word that caught my attention. And when it caught me, it grabbed me and wouldn't let me go. And I left the drinking. I left the drugs. I left my friends. I tried to talk to them, but it wasn't for them. It wasn't for them. I tried to talk to my family. It wasn't for them. But it wouldn't let me go. And it still has me today. Because God came on the earth. The earth. That's what he did in Jesus' day. That's what he did in Moses' day. That's what he did in the prophets. That's what he did in Abraham's day. God came down. And God manifested himself. And just in every age, the people wanted it their way. Now watch where we're going here. We're going to start in the token, but we're going to get into some things really fast. No matter how good you are, how much you say that you're a believer, he required the token. Now God has the requirement. You can't say you believe this Bible and not believe that God has a requirement. You can't just say, I believe in God. It doesn't work. That's not good enough for God. It's not good enough for you. It's not good enough for anybody. God has provided way. He has given a token. He gave a token in Noah's day. He gave a token in Moses' day. He gave a token in Jesus' day. He gave a token today. Amen. This isn't something you can buy. This isn't something you get in because your mama is or your daddy is or your brother or sister. This is something between you and God. See? God required a token. He required it in Egypt, and he requires it tonight. Death is ready. Death was ready to strike Egypt then. See? At any time. It was a great, tremendous time. God had showed them grace by showing his power and signs. Just a perfect type of today. There they were, slaves. Think about that. They were slaves to Egypt, and they were able to look in the Bible. They were able to look in the Word of God, and before they ever went down there, before they ever went into slavery, the Bible said that they were going to go into slavery. And the Bible told them when they were going to come out of slavery, and that God was going to deliver them with a great hand. And so why did 2 million people have to die in the wilderness because of their unbelief when they had a Bible that said it all was going to happen? Huh? Isn't that odd? Isn't that amazing? That the prophets had told them that these things was going to happen. And there they were, right in the midst of it. And then here, God begins to raise up this deliverer, Moses. And so this thing has taken 80 years. 80 years. So when he's born, they know there's something special about him. Okay? So rumors begin to go out. There's something about this guy. Something special is happening. And so then, you know, he goes down in the bulrush. He's raised up in Pharaoh's house. And so that in itself is enough to turn the people against him. He's over there eating good. He's over there dressing nice. He's over there getting an education. And here we are out here slaving and going through all of this stuff. And look at him just like a prince up there. Got it made. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Then one day the time came that he wanted to be identified with them. He wanted to be identified with the Word of God. And he walked right out there. And then he had to run for his life. He killed an Egyptian. What a deliverance. What a deliverance he had, see? That's man's idea, man-made religion. Yeah. What a covering, see? That's what's been happening. That's our problem. We want to do it. We want to figure out a way to help God out. Sarah wanted to help God out. God couldn't do this thing. Sarah was going to do it for him. Yeah, she did a good job too, didn't she? Yeah, so do we. Every time we just make another church. We don't like what the preacher said. We'll just go start our own church. Yeah. Last time some guy told me that is because they asked him not to chew gum in church. Said it was disrespectful. He said, "Oh, just go start my own church." Why? So you can chew gum in church? It's just really, really carnal sometimes where we go. Really carnal where we go. Listen to this. Just a perfect type of today. Same thing. Every spiritual happening. How many? Every spiritual happening and every spiritual sign. See? Is a warning from God that something is fixing to take place. Every sign. See? Every happening is a warning from God that God is doing something. So that's it. That's what we should be on fire for, is on the lookout to see what's happening, to see what's going on. Because I think that's the reason why, and it's not true that all men are more into it than women, but I've heard women complain about it, about current events and about what's going on in the world. And a lot of women are like, "You spend too much time doing that." Well, but they love it, though, when you're telling them what's going on around the world. They like it when you bring it and you relate it to what the Bible said about it. I don't know why that came out about the women. Just mark that one off, throw that to the side. So, but that I've seen it over and over and over, and so it's for some reason it's just out there. And I've seen women complain about that. And but yet, to a man, he likes to know what's going on. And so he tends to look at those things. And let me just say it in his words one more time. Every spiritual happening and every spiritual sign is a warning from God that something is fixing to take place. If that sign comes from God, then God is warning. He's alerting the people. He's making known to the people, see? And if it's man-made, there's nothing to it. If it's man-made signs, if it's man-made stuff, nothing to that, see? But God, you look at, anytime you see something happening with Israel, you know something's going on. Because this is the time, this is the hour. This is the promise. You know, one of the problems is more people believe in the devil than they do believe in God. Just talk to people, and you ask them, say, well, you believe in God? I say, well, I'm not sure if I do or not. And it literally had asked, well, do you believe in the devil? Yeah, I believe in the devil. Because it's easy to blame the devil for all the bad stuff. But it's hard to give God credit for all the good stuff. Somehow or another, the devil knows how to wreck that. It kind of reminds me of the farmer who was working on his barn on the roof. And he's up on the roof, and all of a sudden he starts sliding off. And this is about two stories down. And he cries out to God. He says, oh God, help me, save me. And he gets almost to go over the edge of the roof, and a nail catches his pants. And what does he say? Never mind, God, the nail saved me. That's people. That's the way people can't recognize God. They can recognize the devil, but they can't recognize God. God works differently. God, you have to be spiritual. You have to have the Spirit of God in you to recognize the presence of God. People can't recognize what God is doing. They can't recognize spiritual happenings. They can't recognize when God sends a prophet on the scene. They can't recognize what God is doing. But if it's a God sent, everyone knows that God sends signs, a sign. And if it's a supernatural sign, he sends a message with that sign. You got a whole Bible testifying of the same thing. God sends a prophet. He gives a sign so the people will recognize. What is it for? He made it very clear in Moses' day. To vindicate that this is the voice of God. God doesn't just send somebody and expect you to believe them with no reason. God gives you a reason to believe them. Isn't that great? He don't just throw somebody out there. He gives you a reason to believe them. He anoints them and he vindicates them. Think about that word. Vindicate. He proves that this is the one I chose. This is the one. What this man is saying, I'm going to prove to you that I'm with him so that you know when he speaks, what he's speaking is thus saith the Lord. See? He sends a message with that sign. Always does. He never fails to do that. We see things that's not signs of God. Well, then that won't be nothing, see, because God isn't in it. Huh? If God isn't in it, stay away from it. But the devil has a way to get the people interested in all the things that's not about God and not so interested in the things of God. You ever notice that? Anybody who's raised children knows. Yeah. They'll race to everything else. But you, it's one in a million that races and says, Dad, will you read me the Bible? Will you tell me about the prophet? Will you tell me about the message? Will you tell me about this? Huh? No. It's give me the iPad, or in my day it was comic books. They're still out there, but in my day they had what they called comic books. And there was just thousands of them. You older people know what that is. And then all of that kind of junk. And so that's what you wanted to read. You wanted to read the junk. Yeah. You wanted to watch the junk. See? A message is going to follow that. And that message must be from the Scripture. Now there it is right there. There's the lock. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to think is not happening every time God sends a message. He wants you to think it's not the Scripture. But every time God proves it by the Scripture. That's what makes this message so great and so beautiful. Is we can go from Genesis to Revelations and prove. that what we have today was promised to come, and that it is fulfilling the words of the prophets all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can prove that by the Word. So if anybody, not just talking about here, I'm not just talking to you here, this is going out and people are listening. I just was going through my phone back there a while ago, and I've had so many people reaching out, especially from Uganda and Nigeria, because of the groups that they've added. And so I have probably 20 or 30 people I just kept. They sent the link out. I just said, let me just send. That's what I did back there. I just kept, boom, sending it out. And so we don't know who's listening. I don't know. God has a way. God has a way. God brings you in contact with somebody. I was thinking about this a while ago, and this happens. 1 year I was traveling to India back in way long ago, 20 or more years ago, and as a young man, and was going once a year, and that the whole spent the whole year for that trip, for financially getting things together, preparing for everything. It was for that one trip. And it was just to India. It was long before we ever went to Africa, any of that. And so I remember 1 year that, and I was amazed. I was amazed at the people, and you've probably experienced this. You'll see the same people every year. Okay, I was going to the airport making the same trip to India, and I would meet the same people. And I can tell you, there was a guy who weighed the bags in New York. And this guy could look at your bag and tell you if you're overweight. And I would avoid him. I'd see him coming. Right before they start loading the flight, this guy would come. And he would have a couple other helpers with him. And they'd be carrying the scales. And he'd walk up. And he got me one time. And he'd got me many times. Because I was always overweight. And so I would always try to hide in the crowd of people. And this guy, he started telling me, he said, you need to check that bag. And I said, I didn't like checking my carry-on. I wanted to carry it on. He said, it's too heavy. And I said, no, I said, I want to take it on. He said, do you want me to weigh it? I said, no, I don't want you to weigh it. Because I know you know. I know you know. But it was just... There was a guy in Dubai. I used to go through there just a few times. Worked at the Dunkin' Donuts. Be there every year. Every year he was right there. I'm like. So it's amazing. 1 year I was in Charlotte. This was what I wanted to tell you, not that, all that. 1 year I was in Charlotte. And there was the Latino woman who checked me in at the counter. And the Lord opened the door to begin to witness to her, and I began telling her about the message. And she was very nice, very receptive. And so I was just like, I just was trying to give her something. And she was like really nice about it. And so the next year, 1 year later, I'm going to India again. Same woman checks me in again. And I'm like, wow, this must be God. This must be God. God wants me to tell this woman something. So I just launched into it. I just started right. You know, I'm like, I just picked up where I left off a year ago. She, you know, she didn't remember me, I'm sure. She didn't think put all that together. But for me, you know, here it was. I just picked right up and launched into it. And so I just was giving her as much as I could. And she finally told me, she said, well, I try to stay away from that strange and unusual stuff. And I was like, okay. She popped my bubble. But you don't know. You don't know what 5 minutes with somebody is going to do. You don't know what 2 minutes is going to do to somebody. And you don't know where you're going to hit them again. Or God's going to use somebody else to get them again. I can't remember the town we were in, but one time we were traveling on a little vacation. And we were in this antique shop, and it was, I don't know, somewhere, it was in another state. And we were talking to these people, and they were real nice. They owned the store. And so I don't remember if we were buying a book or what we were buying, but we got to talking. Oh, I was. We were looking for the Time magazine that had the prophet, the supernatural cloud. And so when we got to the counter, we began talking, and I began telling them what was in here. And they said, we have somebody that was just telling us the other day about that. I think it was related to him. I don't know if you remember or not. That is related to him. And they got in a big argument about it. And I told him, I said, well, whatever that was, let me tell you something. This prophet is the true prophet. I said, this message is the true message. And so here they were trying to witness. And now here I come along backing them up. And we never met. I don't know them. They don't know me. I don't know what they believed. But we both believe there was a prophet. You don't know what your words. You don't know what your words do out there. And you don't know where another believer is going to back up your words. Or you're backing up somebody else's words. Just take, let God in that moment take a hold of you and speak. And speak freely. What God wants you to speak. See? The problem is they don't recognize the message and the messenger. They don't recognize it. See? So, but when God is in it, see, a message is going to follow that. And the message must be from the scripture. That must be a scriptural message. See, it must come, thus saith the Lord. Every scriptural, spiritual happening is a sign from God. Praise be to God. Paragraph 57. Like the message and the signs are following in this day. Like if it was in the days of other days that we pass through, see, in the Bible time. And no other time, listen now, no other time could this ever be till now. No other time could this message ever come forth till now. It couldn't. Could Jesus have come in Jeremiah's day? No. No. Because that work wasn't finished. That law of Moses wasn't finished. There was an appointed time. When the veil of the temple rent in twain, then that was the time. That was it. That was finished right there. Huh? Same today. There was a time when these seals was predestinated. Couldn't happen in Luther's day. Couldn't happen in Wesley's day. It was predestinated for this last day. No other time could it come forth. See? The iniquity of the Amorites has to be full. God knows the appointed time. No other time could this message ever come forth till now. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The message could not be till now, see? The world wasn't in the condition as until it is now. It has to be now. And see, that's one reason why we're looking at the current events. We're watching these things going on, huh? So we can see, we can identify with the scripture that this is it. This is the time. Praise God. And praise be to God for sending a prophet on the scene to show us, to wake us up to these things. I tell you, there's no church that would have ever got me. There's none of them because I had visited several of them. And there I didn't see the life. I didn't see the life of the Word of God, the life of Jesus Christ living. I didn't see it. I didn't see the dead being raised. I didn't see the blinded eyes being opened. No. I didn't see a man that God could reveal himself through, that could take the scriptures like Paul did. Paul went right into that Bible and pulled out scriptures all through there, and he brought them out and he said, this happened on that day, this happened on Calvary, this happened over there, this happened, this happened, this happened. I thank God, because if it had been left up to me to read it and find it, it would have never got done. No. No. It would have never... I'd have never got it. It was the grace of God that God sent a prophet in this day to bring us a message that we could know the truth. I tell you, I thank God. I just thank God. And it gets greater to me every day. Every day. I appreciate more what we have, Brother Gumba. I appreciate more. Because this thing, sometimes, as like Brother Gumba was saying the other day, that sometimes we're saying things deep, but we've been following this message. We've been following the Spirit of God for so many years till it just becomes common to us. But you realize sometimes when you're talking about it, it's so far over people's heads that sometimes they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Listen. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The message, let me drop down now. See, this is the hour that was promised. See, the sleeping virgin, let's see, the sleeping virgin coming in trying to buy oil. That's right. See, look, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. Okay? That is at the time when the bride went in. Now, he's putting it together for us. When the foolish virgins awoke, when they awoke and they realized they had no light, huh? You say the Bible didn't say they didn't have light. The Bible said they didn't have oil and they needed to trim their lamp. And if you don't have oil, you don't have light, right? That's the whole purpose of the lamp, is to put oil in it so you have light. Right. So they didn't have any light, but they wanted light. So they say, they wanted light. Is that right? They rose, five foolish and five not, five wise. And so the five foolish realized they didn't have it, and they went to get it. I remember that scripture now. Whosoever will. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. Come and get it. The sleeping virgin coming in trying to buy oil, that is at the time when the bride went in. These things are happening at the same time. This is that, he's going to tell us, this is that the rapture of the church. So at the time that he's calling the bride, now, you're going to call the bride, it's the same time that the foolish virgins are being called, are being warned, huh? The signs are on, being warned that they need to have oil. See? Did you ever think, it said the bride went in and the rest of them was left there. See? Here. Did you ever think what happened? Huh? Did you ever think what happened? Let's read what happens. So, and here, let me tell you the problem. Okay? They recognized that they needed something. You know, the rich young ruler, he recognized he needed something. He had everything in this life. This life was perfect. He had money. He had land. He had stores and stores. There could be a famine for years and he would be okay because he was set. But he realized his spiritual life was lacking. And he said, what must I do? What must I do to have eternal life? That's the one thing I know I don't got. And that was the one thing he wasn't willing to pay for, because there's a cost. Now, if it was money, everybody would pay. But it's not money. It's your life. It's your life that he wants. It's a sacrifice. You got to be a living sacrifice. That's what it requires. That's the price. That's the only way you're going to get there. See, they want it. They want the Holy Ghost. They came looking for the Holy Ghost, but they want it according to their terms. They want it according to their denomination. They want it according to their theology. They want it according to their idea. That won't work. You're not going to get it like that. You're going to get it by full surrender to God. You're going to get it on God's terms. God's going to send you a voice. He's going to send a messenger, and the messenger is going to speak the message, and you're going to receive the message. Huh? That's it. It's that simple. That's all you have to do. That's all Cain had to do. He got a message directly from God. Just do what your brother did, and you will be accepted. Is that the word of God? That's the word of God. You will be accepted. Jesus said the same thing. Whosoever will, come. He told them what they needed to do. Receive the Holy Ghost. No, they wanted to stay back in something else. We enjoy what we have. We like what we're having. We're satisfied with what we have. Don't bother us with this new stuff. Hey, you can tell me that, but you can't tell God that. No. You can tell the preacher that. You can tell the church that. You can tell the president that. You can tell everybody that except God. God had it in his mind before the foundation of the world what he wanted in this day. Now, what he wanted in Noah's day is not what he wants today. So people can sit back in their easy chair and say, yeah, I believe Noah. Man, there was a prophet. That was a great man. Moses was a great guy. It was amazing what Moses did. He was so humble, and he just walked out there and spoke, and the word of God just came to pass, and it was just amazing, all that he did. Well, it was pain and struggle and a sacrifice in his day, but it's nothing today. You just sit back in your chair and say, oh, that was a wonderful story, a wonderful story. But where is God today? Who is God today? What's God doing today? That's what I want to know. Huh? And if that's not what you want to know, then you're living in the glare of another day. You must want God today. You must cry out to God to give you revelation of this day, of this hour. See, did you ever think what happened? They went right on preaching and thinking they were getting souls saved and everything and did not know it. See, they didn't know that the messenger had come. They didn't know that the message was on the scene, that they had something to tell them the way to God. They had to tell them what the token was. They knew nothing about it. Huh? God sent two angels down to Sodom. Is that right? He sent two angels to Sodom. And did the men of Sodom think anything about it? Did they care? Did they recognize the power of God? Did they recognize that they were blinded? Did they recognize when Lot was telling them, these are men of God, offering his daughters, take them, do whatever you will, but don't, these are men of God. Can you imagine? The church will go right on thinking souls are being saved. Everything else. The church is already, the bride, sealed away. See, and they don't know it. That's right. The bride is sealed. How do we know that? Because he came and took the book. And when he took the book, the bride was sealed in. And the church was sealed out. Why were they out? Because they put him out. That's the thing. The people get all messed up on this redemption being over. This is what they're failing to recognize. They didn't want the redemption. They didn't want the revelation. They didn't want what God was offering them to them. They didn't want it in Jesus' day. They didn't want it in Moses' day. They don't want it today. And when they reject it, they're sealed out of it. That's what he's saying. It's that simple. They could have had it. It was offered to them. They don't want it. But they will go on in their own idea. They will go on with their denominational church. They will go on with the same theology that they've had, thinking they're getting people saved. And God is telling them like he told Cain. No, 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 not that. Do this and you will be saved. Do this. Do what my prophet has said and you will be saved. That's the token of this day. Certainly, see, that's exactly what the scripture said. Noah went into the ark. God sealed it out. See? And God sealed it out. Truly, the time will come when men and women will cry to God and even think that they got something, huh? When they haven't. That's exactly right. The scripture speaks that. See? They think they have something. Why? Because they're being anointed by the Spirit of God. They're being anointed. They're taking the Bible and they're reading it and they're getting stirred up. And listen, I can read what happened in Moses' day and get excited. It still excites me. I can read what happened in Noah's day and get excited. It excites me because I know it's the Word of God. I know God did it. I know it's just as real and powerful as it ever was. But it won't save me. Huh? It won't save you today. It won't. You can't believe the word of another day and deny. Jesus told him, said, if you would have believed Moses, you would believe me. Because he spoke of me. That's what Moses was pointing to. Moses told you in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Huh? God in flesh. That was the promise. That God in flesh was going to come again. And he did in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Thoroughly identified in the Bible. That's right. Listen to this in the message, questions and answers. After the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgins be saved? Or will they all be lost? Huh? Are any of these foolish virgins going to be saved? No. See? Everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. So, I've looked this thing up, Brother Gumbo. Of not the bride, but you can relate it because it is related. But when the Spirit of God is taken from the earth. And so that it's a thing. But that's a revelation. So that's a revelation that God has to reveal to you. But the prophet, he clearly identifies it. I found one scripture that he identifies the Spirit of God going from the earth. And so, but I'm still looking. I'm still looking. But as Brother Gumba just said, that it's here, but it's veiled to those that are veiled. So it has to be revealed. So notice the question now, after the bride is raptured. So this is going to take a revelation for you to understand any of these things. God has to reveal it to you. I understand that. So, but let's just lay that aside for the moment. We're going to come back to it. Will any of the foolish virgins be saved or will they all be lost? No, see, everything's finished. For the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. Okay, so now when we'll be finished for the Gentile church. Now, we can take that and isolate it and we know that Brother Branham said the Gentile dispensation or the time that God is dealing with the Gentiles and the seven church ages is the same thing. It's the same thing. So if the seven church ages are over, which they are, and we know that they are, because he's verified it over and over and over, and he said that the seals, when the seals are open, that finishes the Gentile dispensation, that finishes the seven church ages, and that finishes, closes the Bible. That's what he said. And so all of that, so all this revelation setting here, these things all vindicate the fact that that the Gentile dispensation is finished and that the seven church ages are over. Okay? So now you have an issue. You have here, so now that this rapture has to fit in here now because he's telling us. He's telling us it is, that it fits in there, that it goes together. So, the Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that's filthy is filthy steel. He that's righteous is righteous steel. He that's holy is holy steel. Now this scripture, he is identifying it with the Spirit of God leaving the earth. That's what he's doing. He's identifying now, and so he did it up here with the rapture. He's calling it the rapture. Now here he's saying the Spirit of God leaves the earth, and when it does, then he that's filthy is filthy still. Now where is this scripture at? It's in the last book, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. That's where this scripture is. And this scripture is the finality. So this is after redemption is revealed, or when redemption is revealed, then this scripture comes into play. It's the finality that now that redemption is revealed, all for all people, let him that's righteous be righteous still. Let him that's unrighteous be unrighteous still. In other words, whatever you are, it's finished. So the beauty of that is not just what people fear so much that we're saying redemption's over. The beauty of it is that the real revelation that we've received is that it was over before the foundation of the world. But it's just now being revealed that everyone that was going to be saved was already saved before the foundation of the world. Everyone that was going to be lost was lost before the foundation of the world. And so what they're doing is they're just recognizing or rejecting. That's what they're doing. They're accepting it or they're rejecting it. And when they reject the word, they have rejected Christ because he's the word. You know, that's so simple. If we could just lock into those things. It's so simple, really. Yeah, that's why the judgment day, whatever it's going to be, is going to be. But you don't need it because you've already judged yourself worthy or unworthy. It's already done. He's going to talk about it in just a minute. Listen, this scripture is really powerful. And this scripture goes with redemption finished, the meritorial work is finished, this is finalizing everything. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky. And the attorney stands to plead the case. See? His meritorial work, his intercessory work now, the advocate, the attorney, he's going to leave that work, the blood work, he's going to leave that now, and he's going to come forth as the king, as the judge. Now, everyone knows it has to happen. Everybody knew it was coming. But what they didn't know was, what they just like 2,000 years ago, when it happened, they were expecting the world to be over. And it's not. The world goes right on. And the churches go right on. And they're still preaching the lie. They're still preaching their denominational ideas. And they still think people are getting saved. And it's not. Why is it not? Because it's been revealed what the truth is. Huh? In the church ages, the wheat and the tares were together. They were growing together. And so you had a hard time trying to figure it out. You see this person doing this and saying, man, that just don't seem right. But let me not condemn my brother. I don't know. And this other one here is just really a real genuine. Remember when Brother Branham went down to the Pentecostal people? And here was two men. One spoke with tongues and the other one interpreted. And they were operating the gifts perfectly. But then he went and talked to them. And with a gift, he looked into their life. And one of them was a real hypocrite. And the other one was a real genuine Christian. And so there was, the wheat and the tares was right there. And he took him right over into Hebrews, in the scripture there, and showed him. There it is. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But in this day, the promise was that there's going to be a separation. And that separation is going to be separating them by the word. And so as soon as the word is revealed, then that separates, and you know them by their fruits, right? Jesus said it. But what Jesus didn't explain was that your fruit was your teaching. Your teaching. Isn't that something? That revelation was laid there for 2,000 years. And we've been, your fruit is, oh, I'm a nice guy. I did this. I helped this one. I did that. That's all great too. Those are fruits of the Spirit. But the real fruit is your teaching. It's your revelation. That's why the mark is in your forehead or in your hands. Huh? It's what has been revealed to you. Now, if you're Catholic and the Catholic doctrine has been revealed to you, then that's what's in your hands. That's what's in your forehead. That's what you're going to do. That's okay. That's what you were put here to do. We're not condemning that. If it's Pentecost, if you believe the Pentecostal idea, the Pentecostal doctrine, then that's fine. Just believe that. And he's talking so much about Billy Graham. He's talking about those two angels. He keeps talking about those two angels. And I'm afraid to say anything about them. I'm just not sure what to say. But the one thing we know, they blinded them. That's what they did. He's referring to Sodom. And he said, those two angels went down there and blinded the people. And so I was looking up this morning, trying to see if Billy Graham and Oral Roberts believed the Trinity doctrine, which I never could nail it down. I'm pretty sure both of them did, but I didn't nail it down. So just that's just out there. But what did they do? They blinded the people. The people come and said, praise God. Billy Graham said, you just come down and get baptized. Now you repent, get baptized, and you come down here, and then you go join the church. You got all these churches, all these preachers come together. He didn't join up with none of them. He did good. But he didn't take them far enough. So he just said, now you join one of these churches here. And those pastors were there just like, let me get some more people. Let me get some more tithe payers. Let me get some more this and more, some more of this. So they loved it when Billy Graham came to town, because he wasn't taking them to their church, his church. Huh? No. He was just join any church you want. Just join anyone. Just be a Christian. Well, so they left there thinking they were saved. Just as unborn again as they were when they arrived there. Nothing had happened. They didn't know the difference. Here comes Oral Roberts along. Same thing, same false doctrine, same false idea, but he gave them something that stirred them up. He got them jumping and shouting, and he got them healing. Billy Graham didn't care about the healing. He didn't preach on all that stuff, or maybe a little bit, but Brother Branham said he failed when he crossed the pond. He failed. They come and challenged him. Instead of him standing up and saying, yes, God's a healer, or calling somebody that believed it, saying, hey, brother, I know you're a faith. Come. No, he just left with his tail between his legs. Oral Roberts was a man of faith. He was believed in healing. But he also was going to get in your pocket. He was also about the money. God told me if I don't raise so many $1 million by such and such a day, then I'm going to die. Some rich guy gave him the money. I told him, no. Let's see if that was God or not. Everybody keep your money in your pocket. Let's see if that was God or not. That nonsense, it's still going on. There was some woman preacher the other day, same thing. She had to raise so much money or God was going to take her off the scene or do something. Like, you just wonder. No, you don't. We use that terminology, but we don't. We know exactly why it is. We know exactly why it is. And listen, let's read it one more time, because this scripture has kept coming up as we've been going along. It keeps coming back up and coming up. This scripture, he's telling us that this is the time of the rapturing. This is the time of redemption being finished. This is the time of the revelation coming forth. This is the time of the Gentiles. He's not dealing with the Gentiles anymore. All these things are being done. That's when this scripture comes into manifestation. See, and what it the manifestation can only come once the revelation comes. So this is revealed to the bride. It's revealed to her that she knows the moment. She knows the day and the hour. She knows the message that this thing's been revealed. And now whoever you are, you are. You can't change. You can't, if you're a leopard, you can't take them spots off. Huh? No. Whatever you are, if you're a zebra, you can't take them stripes off. That's what you are. See, the Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. See, he that's holy is holy still. In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky. Where the attorney stands to plead the case, Christ leaves the sanctuary. His day of mediatorial is over. The rapture comes. He leaves from the sanctuary, goes forth and takes the book of redemption, claims everything he redeemed. There's no more mediatorial work. Now, this is the prophet. You read it. Preachers read it and weep because it don't go with their idea. They read it and complain. They read it and fuss. They read it and deny it because it don't go with their idea. But the simplicity of it is, God is just revealing the whole redemption plan from before the foundation of the world. And that you were either his or not his before anything. Just like Jacob and Esau. Wasn't that, when you become a Christian, when you first begin to study the Bible, was that not an astounding moment? Huh? Was that, and you know, one of some of the first things you're taught is you have to love everybody. You know, God is love. God loves everybody. And then one day, some preacher, you know, those wayward preachers that come up with this oddball stuff, not just preaching the love of God and love everybody and come to church and love your brother, love your sister. Some preacher comes up there and he stands up there and he says, before either son had done good or evil, God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. I can remember when I first heard that, I was like, what? This don't even go with the rest of the Bible. I found out it wasn't the rest of the Bible being the problem. The problem was the ones who were interpreting the Bible. That was the problem. I didn't listen to some preachers that had their idea, had some denominational idea. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Before they were born, before they'd done good or bad, before the foundation of the world. See, it would just keep reading because the mind of God, it just kept slipping out a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. He was revealing it all the time. It was coming. That predestination, and then people are still trying to, you know, don't let me get on that. You know, I'm still got that pit, free moral agency. And let me tell you something, I believe in free moral agency. And I believe you're making your own decisions day by day by day by day. You are a free moral agent all day long making decisions. Yes, you are. But let me tell you something. If you got the seed of God, there is a magnet that is magnetized to you and it's taking you somewhere else. Rather, that's what your free moral agent wants or doesn't want. And if there's not a seed of God in you, then there's not that magnet in there, and you're going somewhere else. That's right. We can both say we want to do such and such and such and such. Two people, one have a seed and the other one not have a seed. Esau and Jacob, let's take them. Huh? They can both want to serve God. Huh? Cain and Abel, let's take them. They could both want to serve God. Yeah. They both had free moral agency, didn't they? It didn't just start at Calvary. It was there for Adam. It was there for Sarah. It was there for everybody back there. Yeah. Cain had it. And God God made it so, to me, God made it so easy for Cain. How many times did God come down and say, what's wrong, Cain? Why are you mad? Why are you mad? Just do what your brother did. And that's what, and frankly, that's what preachers are doing today. Just do what God has said, because God has said it. God has proven that this message come from God. God has proven it. And the only reason that people can reject that is because they have no attraction to know God in the power of his resurrection. They have no attraction to know the truth. If you have any attraction and you hear these things that's being spoken, if there's any part of God in you, you're going to check it out. Yeah, see? That's the problem. That people don't even want to check it out. They're like, no, I believe the Bible. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you believe the Bible, when you hear this message, you would be checking this out and seeing if it lines up with the Bible. Yeah. Because it's the only thing in the last 2,000 years that even come close. That even come close to what Paul had. To what Jesus had. That's right. And to all the Old Testament prophets. There hasn't been anything in 2,000 years that even come close. But the truth of the matter is, what came today was far beyond any of those prophets, because this was the finality. This was the climax of the whole thing. See, there's no more mediatorial work. How many understands that? See, I got it on one of the seals, see, or one of the, the seals. I remember reading this some years ago, and I marveled at this. I couldn't understand it, because he's preaching along, okay, and this is, what is this message here? Questions and answers. This is in 64. So he preached souls in prison in 64. So he just, wasn't it 64? Is that right? Yes. So he's saying, so he really nailed it down. He took it back to what happened when the seals was open, when he takes the book and reveals it. And so now he's preaching along and he says, I got that. I got this here. Mediatorial work is over. He said, I think it was on one of the seals. And I was like, how could he even doubt for a moment? How could he even for one moment disassociate or because to me, this is the pivot of the whole message. It's the pivot of the whole message is the opening of the seals. And then, it always comes to you in a quote. It always comes to you. And it did. And I realized it. I remember Brother Branham saying, he said, it's coming so fast out here on the backside of the desert. The revelation is coming so fast. He said, I can't even keep up with it. It's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. If you take these messages from the opening of the seals to 1965 communion, it's overwhelming. And a lot of times you get to reading and you get caught up in it and you don't even realize how much of it has never been realized or recognized until this hour. If especially for those you've been reading the message for years, but if you haven't and you start into it, you will realize that the things that God was revealing was just, and the closer it got to 65, it was just like a steamroller, just like a snowball rolling down the hill. It just was coming faster and faster and greater and greater and greater. Now, just wonderful. See, how many understands that? I got it on one of the seals or one of the, yeah, the seals. I believe it was. I'm telling you, I've thought on that thing a long time. I thought on that a lot. How could that be? That Christ come forth to claim his mediatorial work. But see, he could have been thinking too of some other messages that he nailed it in. But it started in the seals. But he nailed it along the way. It kept coming back. And now it's coming back here in the questions and answers. Redemption is finished. It's revealed. And the bride is called. Sealed into Christ by the revelation. See? The Holy Spirit. Now, Paragraph 174. Now, wait just a minute now. Will the foolish virgins be saved? Now, when he started off with the question, then his no was kind of open because there was two parts. So you were wondering, okay, we're pretty sure he's saying no, but could that be applied to the other part? And he said, oh, just a minute now. Will the foolish virgins be saved? No. Directly applied to that part of the question. Whatever happens, happens now. After that time, she's in the state. Dot, dot, dot. Now, see, now she will have to go through the tribulation. Now, when he made this statement here, I'm not sure, it might just be me. I might just be me misreading it. But they used to have the terminology that they use a lot, that somebody was in state. And that is referred to in, like in the judicial arena, when you go to court and then you're judged, say that you go through all the trial, all of that stuff, and then say you're found guilty, right? So then they would say you're in state, okay? You're in the custody of the state court or the state prison or the state. You're in state. In other words, like the breach. It's like the breach that you've been judged. You're guilty, and you're going to prison, or you're going to die, or you're going to whatever it is. You're in state. Yeah, I hope I'm using that right. So then so it's already finished, right? It's already finished. The judge already said, you're guilty. So you're just between that place where they put you there or they kill you, whatever it's going to be. And I think they use the same terminology in when a person's deceased. Now, you know that in America, somebody could come in the door and shoot you 100 times and you're deader than dead. But you're not dead until the state comes and says you're dead. So the state's going to send the coroner out, and he's going to look at you, and he's going to check your pulse. And it doesn't matter, you got 100 bullets in you. He's going to check your pulse, and he's going to do all the stuff that he does, and he's going to say, he's dead. So now, once you're declared dead, now you're in state. Now, you're dead. But now, there's a period of time before you're going to be buried, right? So there's that period of time, that waiting. You're in that waiting. That's what this is. That's what it is. You've already judged yourself. You've already rejected or accepted, and God already had it in his mind. And so now, once those seals opened and redemption is revealed, you're just laid in state. You're waiting right there for the manifestation to finish it out, just to go to your place. You're just waiting on that finish, that thing to happen. See? And now she will have to go through the tribulation period, all right? But she's already dead, right? Remember what he said about the adulterous woman? She's dead while she yet liveth. Is that the Bible? That's right in the Bible, isn't it? She's dead while she yet liveth. Why? She's living death. She's living sin. She's rejected the Messiah who came right on the scene. Huh? Rejected the message. Rejected the revelation of redemption. Rejected the revelation of the rapture. Rejected the revelation of the resurrection. That's what they've done today. They said, no, I'm okay with my church. I'm okay with my idea. Amen. I think I'm a good person. You remember the very first quote we read? It don't matter how good you are. You're never good enough. If any of us could have been good enough, then Christ didn't need to go to Calvary. No. You could have worked it out yourself. And the reason of it is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. Not all of it. She didn't reject all of it. This is the problem. this is the lacking of revelation that the people have in this day. They had it in Jesus' day. They had it in Paul's day. They even had it in Moses' day. Huh? 2 million people died in the wilderness. God let them die because they rejected the fullness of the word for that day. They rejected the voice of God for that day. Those things are powerful. Was it Paul who said, we have so great a cloud of witnesses? Huh? This is the witnesses. This is what's going to testify against every unbeliever. This is it. This is it. All that God has shook before us, every spiritual, supernatural happening, every sign that God has did. There has been Billy Graham. There has been Oral Roberts. There's been a multitude. There's been Tommy Osborne's. There's been T.D. Jakes. I got the letters right? Jakes is right, though. Jakes, yeah. Great preacher. You'll see him different places. You see him hanging in the some of the hospitals in Kenya. Great man. But what about what God is doing? What about what God is revealing? What about that? And the reason of it is, this is the reason, brother, sister, is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. And now, this is the fullness. This is the revelation. When those seals opened up, brother, redemption was wide open. God opened the whole plan, revealed the whole thing. It's always been in part, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Christ goes to Calvary. Christ goes to Calvary, pays the price for sin, completely pays the price for sin. Paul comes along and begins revealing all the Old Testament, all of those things in the Old Testament, and he begins to prophesy about the New Testament, sending us into the future and telling us what's going to happen in the future. And he's saying, after Calvary, Paul begins saying, now we just see in part, we just understand in part. So there's something here. God has done a great thing. This was prophesied from the foundation of the world. This is the great thing. This is the price for sin. It's finished now. It's done. This is wonderful. But there's more. He started pointing to something else. He started pointing to this day. Read your book, Acts. All that Jesus began to do and continues to do. He had more. He had more to do. So he stayed there as a mediator, intercessor, 2,000 years. 2,000 years. He stayed there. The bloody sacrifice. But one day, he rose up. And he takes the book and he comes forth to reveal the plan of redemption. Wow. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't it marvelous? What a wonderful hour that we live in. She is a believer, a professed believer. What? Huh? The reason of it is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She's a believer, a professed believer, but she'll have to go through the tribulation period. Is he still talking about the foolish virgins? Huh? The ones he said, no. They rejected it. They rejected the word of the hour. They rejected it in its fullness. But they go right on thinking that the word that they are living, they rejected the real word, and now they're living their own word, thinking they're getting people saved. That's the problem. That's what was happening in Jesus' day. They went right on, the Pharisees went right on Pharisees. The Sadducees went right on Sadducees. The scribes went right on scribes. Herodians. Same today. These things are revealed. The Pentecostals go right on. The Baptist goes right on. The Methodist goes right on. Everybody goes right on. But brother, in Jesus' day, it took a turn. And in this day, it took a turn. That's right. It took a turn. He said, we're not building a wall. He said, we're building a house. Huh? The wall can just go. You can build that wall between here and Mexico and go for thousands of miles. Just straight. And you know what? Anybody can lay on a wall. You can take your helper. When you're building a wall, you set the ends and you measure up that pole and you put a string on there and anybody can lay block. Boom. Boom. But when you turn a corner, now it takes a mason. Because the corner has to tie together. Just like it has to tie together. If it don't tie together, it's going to fall over. If you ever go by where they build these shopping centers, ever see these shopping centers? And you see just this massive wall up maybe 20 or 30 feet high. And you see these poles on both sides of that wall. Just this little pole. It's just keeping it from falling over till they put the roof on to tie it together. Can you imagine? 30-foot wall just falling over? It's happened so many times. Yeah. See? She has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She's a believer, a professed believer, but she'll have to go through the tribulation period. The Bible said, and the rest of them, the dragon spurted water out of his mouth to go and make war. What an hour that is, see? There's never been a time in history where that the nominal churches has become so hungry to find the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Think about this now. This was around the turn of the century, right? This was around the turn of the century, early 1900s. And so coming there, the prophet comes on the scene, the gifts are poured out, the Spirit is poured out, the baptism of the Holy Ghost returns upon the church. That was a prophecy. We didn't know. So, brother, what year were you born? 62. So we what? There's none of us old enough. Huh? But still, regardless, we didn't know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost had to return because we thought when it was given on the day of Pentecost that it was the same all the way through the seven church ages. Well, if that was true, then why did the Bible say that in the last days it would return? Isn't that amazing? But they lost it. They got away from it. How could they lose that? How could they get away from that? Because of denominational ideas. Because of man-made ideas. And so, join our church. Brother Curtis, after I think his second time he come, he said, I need to join the church. I said, brother, you can't. You can't join the church. No, you have to become one with God. Huh? That's what they taught us. Join the church. There's no joining. There's no membership. There's no letter. Huh? It's a birth. You must be born again. That's what you have to have. A new birth. And when that happens, brother, man-made ideas, they take their flight. They just run away from you like anything. There's never been a time in history where that the nominal churches have become so hungry to find the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Bible said it was going to happen. The Bible said in the last days that it was going to happen. And so it did happen. And the Spirit returned back. The gifts returned back. And in the early 1900s, there began to be gifts of healing and gifts of the Spirit going around. And they went around the world in every country. I speak for the Christian businessmen constantly. It's Presbyterian, it's Lutheran, it's Catholic, and all, Baptist by the hundreds, Church of Christ, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Seventh-day Adventist, Every one of them flocking, trying to find. What happened? Huh? The scripture promised it was coming back. You know what it is? Because he says they don't get it. They don't get it because they don't accept the fullness of the atonement. They want it under condition. And that's what's wrong with Christians today. They want God under condition. They want God to be pleased with them. They want God to smile on them. They want God to bless them. But they don't want to die. They don't want to surrender. But they're seeking it. Huh? They're seeking it. They're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they don't get it because they are coming with their idea. They're coming with the church. Yes, I want the Methodist Holy Ghost. I want the Pentecostal Holy Ghost. I want the Catholic Holy Ghost. They come. Why did they come? Brother Branham told us why they come. In the message, recognizing your day. Recognizing your day and its message. He said, there's a great Christian newspaper called The Herald of His Coming. And he said, one of the greatest in the nation. That was Jack Moore and them in Louisiana. One of the greatest Christian newspaper, Herald of His Coming. Herald of His Coming, I think it was. It was real big in those days. And he said, they'll hardly print anything. Fast pray, fast pray. Yeah, fast and pray for a great awakening. That God will do something great. That God will send the prophet. Can you imagine? The prophet preaching in their church. And they're printing in their newspaper. Pray for a prophet. That there will be a great awakening. Brother Branham said, why do they do that? That's a worthy thing, right? Yeah, encourage the people. Pray, pray, pray. Let's have a revival, revival, revival. Brother, we have the revival. Huh? We have it. It's in here. It's in here. It's here. And if you can get this in here, then you are the revival. You are the revival when you get it on the inside. See? Brother Branham said, why do they do that? He said, they feel, listen to this now, they feel the pull. Huh? What pull? The Spirit. Because God promised to pour out the Spirit. And God promised, He did it. God poured out the Spirit. Now they feel the Spirit. It's going everywhere. All of the denominational churches, every kind of religion, every kind of idea, everybody feels the Spirit of God moving. And they want some of it. That's a natural thing, right? If you've seen dollar bills falling out of the sky, and you look over there and you say, man, there's money falling out of the sky. And everybody's picking it up. I'm going to go get some, right? And that's what they're doing. The Spirit of God was falling out of the sky. And here, everybody wanted some. Think about that. He said, what did they do? They failed to recognize the awakening of the bride. That was his answer. Why do they do that? They failed to recognize the awakening of the bride. That's right. And that's a beautiful thing, brother, because in the fourth seal, he said the bride hasn't had a revival yet. She's had nothing to wake her up. Now you just think. First pull, second pull, all the gifts, all the healing, all those things, huh? Said she hasn't awoke. Why? Because he was the one who was going to wake her. He was the one who was going to take the book. He was the one going to get her attention. All right, we're going to finish this questions and answers, but my time's up, and I'm just getting to the good part. And I was wanting to get to this on Wednesday. I don't know what's taking me, why it's taking so long. And I didn't have that much, really. Let's get paragraph 176. I'm repeating. I read something sometimes two or three times, but I do that on purpose because I think it's effective. I hope it is. I want to make sure you're getting what he's saying. So let's just, there's a few more quotes here. Let me just take a look right quick. Okay, yeah. So just about maybe three or four paragraphs, something like that. So let's see. Just give me a few minutes. All right. Now, this is a striking thing. Please don't take it as a doctrine. See? But do you understand what the scriptures said would take place when that did? See? Time was over. Now, he's still talking about those holy virgins. He's still talking about when this takes place. He's still talking about when they come and they're wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they're wanting it, but they don't get it. Right? They want it, but they don't get it. See? But do you understand what the scriptures said would take place when that did? Time was over. For look, 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, and half of them had oil in their lamp, and half of them didn't. Now listen to this next statement here. Listen to this. That's the part of the body that's dead. See? And the part that's alive. Now, how in the world can half of the body of Christ be dead and half of the body of Christ be alive? Tell me how that could be. Isn't that an astounding statement? But there is a quote that the prophet addresses that right over here in the Church Ages book. And he says that all of these churches, in one place he's talking about, he said, those that live by the sword will die by the sword. And so he says that if you're living by the word of God, right, if you're a Christian and the word is your everything, and there's plenty of nominal Christians that are even more sincere than some message people, very sincere and very dedicated. The only problem is they lack the revelation. And so that's unfortunate. That's not between me and them. That's between them and God. I have no control on those things. I can't. All I can do is speak to it in what he has said. But Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book, he said those people, he said they're going to be judged according to the word. He said because they, as nominal believers, he said they claim to be the bride of Christ. They claim to be true believers. And he said, because of that, he said, God is holding them accountable as believers. So they say they're believers. They say they're the bride of Jesus Christ. So now God is speaking to you by his word. You look in the Bible and you'll see. And in the book of Revelations, Brother Adamson made another statement one place in the Church Ages book. He said the reason that the revelation is so misunderstood is because people fail to recognize that Bible right there, God is speaking to two groups of people. Uno, dos, two. Two groups of people. The true believer and the make believer. Huh? The unbeliever, you can just push him out. You can say three, but he said two. So it's the seed and the non-seed. That's it. The spirit of God, the spirit of the devil. So that's where it's at, right there. That's the part of the body that's dead and the part that's alive. See? So one has light, the other don't have light. So if they don't have light, then they're dead, right? They're dead. Thank you, Cameron. I don't hear him, but he's giving me his amens just like this. Yeah. Preachers like amens, but mm-hmm. They like this too. That's right. The five wise, when the cry came, "Behold the bridegroom," they all woke. They all woke. What is that? Go study what the prophet said. It's an awakening. It's a resurrection. Yes, it is. They woke. They were dead. We woke. We were dead. What were we dead? We were in a cage. We were in a denominational death trap. Huh? And we woke. And he shined the light and revealed the word. Satan had distorted this thing for 2,000 years. If the people could recognize that, they wouldn't be trying to get back to that which was law, to that which was has been perverted. That's what's wrong. The man has been perverting it for 2,000 years. And yes, there's a little bit of truth in there, but no, it was not the fullness. No. You tell me which denomination had the truth when Jesus came, and I'll tell you which one has it today. Huh? It'll be the same answer. Because Jesus didn't agree with none of them in that day, and Jesus, through his prophet, didn't agree with none of them today. It's always the same. It's always the same. Huh? They all woke. They woke. And they trimmed their lamps to go into the wedding supper, see? But when the foolish virgin come and said, give us of your oil. Our lamp has gone out, see? Give us of your oil. They said, not so. We just have enough for ourselves. See? Go buy it. Go buy it. Yeah. Your church sells it. Go buy it from your church. Huh? If they were seed, they would have been able to get it. But they weren't seed. They were like Esau. So it, let him as filthy be filthy still. Yeah. You're going to come out of that, or you're not going to come into Christ. That's the word of God. That's the Bible. You're going to come out. You can't stay in there and get the oil. You can't stay in there and have light. You can't. That's contrary to the whole Bible. It's contrary. See? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Who is the bridegroom? He's the Word. That's right. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word, and that's what was promised today. Show me one scripture that says that He promised to send you that body that was hanging on Calvary. Huh? That's okay, but that's not what was promised today. What's promised today is the Word. That's the manifestation today. That's what you have to have today, is the revelation of Him. He's revealing Himself in the fullness of the Word. We must know that. We must receive that. We must have that. If you're looking for flesh and bones today, you better look for the bride, because that's His flesh and blood today. That's what He promised today. That's so simple. It's so simple. And it's simple when you see it in the Word. If you just think, yeah, I hear you saying it, but I don't see it in the Word, then get in there, because it's in there. It's in there. That's the promise of the hour. See? And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom come. See? They only had the anointing. They only had the baptism. But you can't have the life and die. So the life is eternal life. And so that dead something there, that was 177. When the proclamation went out, the decree, the bridegroom's coming, everybody wanted to get right quick, huh? Isn't that right? Oh, he's coming. You even hear people say that. You'd be witnessing somebody and say, oh, I'm going to, when I get old, before I die, I'm going to do it before I die. Oh, you don't know when you're going to die. That's the problem. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. That's the problem. You say, oh, I'm going to do it. No. If you're a seed, you're going to do it when he's pulling you, when he's speaking to you. The Spirit, a lot of times people know something's happening, but they can't identify it. It's the Spirit of God moving upon your heart, trying to get your attention and show you his presence in your day. That's what he's doing. See, when the proclamation went out, the decree, the bridegroom's coming, everybody wanted to get right quick. Ain't that the hour when the handwriting's on the wall? Huh? The handwriting was on the wall in Nebuchadnezzar's day. The handwriting was on the wall at Branham Tabernacle in Jeffersonville. Yeah, God came down. You know, people seen that? Huh? Talk about supernatural. Same thing in the Bible. The Spirit of God came down and wrote on the wall and showed it on the wall, and the people seen it, and people were passing out. People were shouting. People were screaming. Some people were in awe at that God was doing this. Just put it on the wall. Isn't that... I love it. I love it. And the devil don't like it. But I love it. I love it. Because it's in here. It's right in here. Yeah. Perfectly. Identifies perfectly. That's right. I think that happened another time at Brother Branham's house. His wife was worried that because he wasn't doing anything. And she's like, she said, Bill, I know God told you to do this. Said, but did he tell you to come back here? He told you to go away. Did he tell you to come back here? She was getting worried. Isn't that something? Huh? And knowing that if he goes back there, he's going to be away from her. And so they had this conversation. Lee Vail was there. And they had this conversation. I think it was the same time that they were talking. Somebody did something, and Brother Branham just bloated off. And Lee Vail said, if somebody gives me a hot potato, I'm going to give them one back. And so, but the humility of the prophet, he was waiting on God. And so they were talking about that. And she said, he said, it don't matter where I am, I'm going to serve God, you know, God. And God wrote on the wall in his house, I need to go back and get that. And said, return back. Told him, said, return back. Tell me, that man was in God's hands. And God wouldn't let nobody touch that. That was one to an age. I don't care, you might find 100 people with the gift of prophecy. That's not the same thing. A prophet is born a prophet. And a prophet to the age that brings the message, that there's only one of those. There's only one. There was only one Moses. There was only one Jesus. There was only one Paul. There was only one William Branham. That's right. That was the gift to this age. That was the voice of God to this day. That's who God vindicated. Did we? Okay. Actually, I had another quote here. And we can. What can we do? Okay. All right. I don't want to quit. I know some of you are sleepy. And I understand. It's just, when you're on this side, there's no tiredness. When you get on that side, yeah, you're tired. You feel it. You because you're sitting. So I understand. But I love him. Don't you love him? Amen. I just love him, and I thank him and praise him, because I'm excited about this message. I'm excited because God has vindicated it. You know, when I first came in the message, I didn't even know there was a message. I didn't. The only thing I knew is that the gift of healing had come back. That's all I knew. And I heard about the dead being raised and the eyes being opened and these different things. And I didn't realize the significance of that the scripture said that prophet was coming. I hadn't even got that far. No, all I said is, the only thing I knew was that here was the evidence of a man with a gift, who had a gift in his hand and that could discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the dead had been raised many times. Blinded eyes had been opened many times. So all those things was happening. And that's all I knew about it. And so never occurred to me once that there was a message. Never occurred all of this stuff talking about the Son of Man ministry and as it was in the days of Lot and Abraham and Noah and all. None of those things. It was a long time. It was a long time before those things began to open and become real. And it was just, but I was on fire. My heart was on fire. Maybe I wasn't doing much, but my heart was on fire to know that God was real. Because I had lived my whole life, 21 years, I had lived my whole life not knowing for sure whether there was a God. Now, many of you was maybe raised in a Christian home, and you knew from your birth all your life that there was a God, and that it was taught to you every day, and you prayed every day. I didn't have none of that. We didn't pray. We didn't go to church. We didn't have none of that. There was a little time our parents, they took us to church once or twice, and then they sent us to church. And that, you know, what is that? That's okay. They're going to tell you a Bible story. They're going to tell you something, maybe helps you along the way. But when I came on the message, I didn't even know all of the Bible stories. And that's how pitiful it was. What a pitiful Christian that I was, and didn't know nothing about God, you know, and to find out things even about the ark and Noah and those things, you know, there's so much there, even in the simplicity of it. But one day I found out there was a message, and that message was to awake the bride, to get her attention and bring her back into the presence of God, because she had got out. She hadn't got out of his mind. No, he knew where she was, but he was flying over. He was looking for her, and he was going to claim her. That's what he promised. He was going to claim her. So one day he came and he took the book, and in that book was every name of every predestinated seed. And he began to call. And the beauty of it was, he wasn't calling natural names. He was doing it as he did in every age. He spoke the mystery for the age. In Noah's day, the mystery was, it's going to rain. Even though it's never rained, it's going to rain. And there was only 8 people that could believe that mystery. They'd never seen it. They never imagined that it could be. But somehow, God got their attention. And they said, this is God. It's going to rain. I don't know. It's never rained before, but it's going to rain. Huh? Just like the rapture. Everybody, they had their idea of the rapture. They told us what it was going to be. They taught us. Yeah. Everybody's going to catch up. Go up in the air, and it's like, you're going to see people. I'm going to see you going up in there, and you're going to be on the cloud. You're going to be up there on the clouds. And then, and remember, and Brother Anson talked about, I said, everybody's going to play a harp. Huh? Remember that? Yeah. Everybody's going to learn how to play now. Even us who don't sing and play. Huh? They told us all kinds of stuff. And we believed it. We didn't know no better. It's like the priest telling the Catholic. You look at the Catholic Church and the stuff that they tell them now, and you wonder, how could anybody believe that stuff? But it's been going on for 2,000 years. And so the same thing's happening in all the denominations. Each one has an idea. But God said, I'm coming for my bride. And I'm going to reveal myself to her. I'm going to make myself known. And so how could he do that? He's the Word. So he began opening the Word. And she began seeing him. She began seeing the revelation. Those mysteries began calling. Began calling your name. Yeah, they did. You said, oh, that's me. That's me. I'm one with him. Amen. May God bless you. Stand together with us. I'll ask Brother Goomba to come, and whatever he feels like. he wants to do it. Now you're going to have to hold this. Okay.
That was good. There were very, very many things that were said here. There were very, very many things. One of the things that I would like to emphasize on is I'm not going to keep you. it's about judgment. You remember the children of Israel when they were going to Canaan?
Yes.
They sent 12. Is it 12 people that were sent?
Yes.
To Canaan. Yeah. They came back. Don said that God will not judge you. It's judge yourself unworthy of this by refusing it. When you refuse the message of the hour, you judge yourself. After you refuse the message of the hour, you judge yourself. That's judgment. That's judgment. When they went back, when they came back, 10 of them said, we can't go there. They judged them. Mm-hmm. And they told the people, and all the people said, we can't do it. We can't do it. And God said that was judgment to themselves. Yeah, they said, right. We can't go. And that's how they didn't go. They didn't go. And they all died in the wilderness, mm-hmm. except two, except Jacob, Joshua and Caleb.
Yes.
Because they are the only ones who judge. This is the message. This is the message of the hour. We're going to believe it. We're going to start with it. Mm-hmm. God tried to tell them, why do you think you cannot go? Because of those mighty people, giants. And did you fight for yourself in the Red Sea? Did you fight the government of Egypt? Did you do that? I did. I'm going to do the same. And the judge said, no, we can't go. That's exactly what people are doing. They have been given the message. This is the message of the hour. The refusal of the message is judging yourself. I can't do it. I don't want it. I don't want life eternal. I'm dead. That's death. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Lord, you feed us, Father, and we feel so good when you do that, Lord. When you speak, Father, we feel like those people who are going to Emmaus on time, Lord. They didn't know you, Father, as you talked to them. So we went on that journey, Lord God. But they felt their hearts burning within themselves, Father. And that's how we feel when you talk to us, Father. It's so sweet. It's so great, God. It's so nice, Lord God. We like it, Father, when you speak. That you've spoken today. Father, help us to get closer and to take these things seriously, Lord God, and to see that it's you now, Father, dealing with your bride in this hour. Thank you. Bless the people now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.